Is Pope Francis a man of the left or a cuddly but typical church conservative? Since the release of his statement on human dignity, both sides are claiming him. Progressives have hailed his emphasis on poverty and online violence. Conservatives take heart from his opposition to surrogacy and gender theory. Dr. Phyllis Zagano of Hofstra University is a former advisor to Pope Francis. She's here to sort it out.
The document is called Infinite Dignity, and it really is about the dignity of the human being. That's basically at the bottom of it all. Then you get into the question of human freedom. If you stop human freedom, you are offending human dignity. But then people will say, well, I want freedom. The church says I have to be free to do what I need to do. And the answer, of course, is yes, you are, but not insofar as you will offend your own or others' human dignity. That's basically what the document says. In a lot more complicated terms, I must say, it is based in what is called natural law. And natural law is based, or natural law teaches, about how human beings are really the pinnacle, the highest point of creation, and they must be respected. But then again, we circle around to what is a human being. And that's where you get into the debates about abortion. That's where you get into the debates about surrogacy, both of which are mentioned in the document.
Let's talk about a couple of the kind of headline issues first, because as you point out in your piece for Religion News Service, there were some other very important issues that this raises that didn't get the attention. But let's treat the sort of headline issues first. And one is the question of gender theory. Where is the conflict between the Pope's compassion for people of all sexualities and his pronouncement about gender theory?
Well, it is mentioned in the document. So gender theory is whether an individual is going to identify as male or female or neither. You know, if the Holy Father meets a transgender person, give that person respect. And really, that is what we are taught. We're not to judge anybody's choices. We're simply to respect them. However, when you get into the question of transgenderism and young people, there becomes both a moral and a political question that's being debated really around the world. At what age does one accept the medical intervention for an individual who wishes to identify and actually be transgender? I can see that the church is very clear in its distinction. I can also see that opponents of church teaching are very interested in making that distinction cloudy. If something's happened, if somebody is, then you respect what the person is. If something has not happened, and the individual is not, the church will actually advise that there needs to be a great deal of consideration on how the individual is dealing with his or her body. That's when you move into really the church teaching against mutilation. And so I make the distinction between how you speak to a 12-year-old and how you would speak to a 50-year-old. The 50-year-old who is transgender needs to be respected. Things are not going to be reversed. Maybe they will be, but in any event, it's the choice of an adult. When you're talking to a 12-year-old, a boy who wants to be a girl who wants to be a boy, it's a different discussion. And realistically, relative to medical intervention, especially surgical intervention at the age of 12 or the age of 13, as well as the use of puberty blockers. These are very serious, serious medications and serious interventions that can change a life that is not really fully formed, shall we say. So I can see where the Holy Father, while he will accept and respect the choice of a 50-year-old, say, he is not going to recommend medical intervention for a child.
If the question of transgenderism is a lot more vexed, I gather the Pope's position, which he's already spoken about on surrogacy, is a lot more straightforward because, I mean, we are talking here about children possibly being raised quite deliberately without a mother. We are talking about the potential exploitation of poor women. It seems this is a lot more straightforward for the Vatican.
Well, it is. The question of surrogacy, as it moves into the economic level, where poor women can be exploited, there's also the specter of creating a specific class. I think of Brave New World. You could imagine that there would be genetic modifications. So that's one part of the problem, is the commodification of the human being, which is what the Holy Father specifically mentions in the document. IVF is not mentioned in the document. In vitro fertilization is what you do with the extra embryos. Mm. In some situations, they're simply dumped down the sink. And in other situations, the extra embryos are frozen. What is their status? And that's when you get into the discussion of what constitutes a human being.
How does the Pope link together these questions of gender, surrogacy, and economic inequality? Because this is the unreported, this is the very unreported element of this document, and it's of a piece with the things that this Pope, and indeed his predecessors, have been saying for 100 years about gross economic inequality. How does he link all of these things together?
There's a straight line, really, in all of Catholic moral theology, which has been presented by the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith in this particular document. The question of economic insecurity and economic inequality is a line of thought that continues with Pope Francis's speaking and writing. When you talk about surrogacy, for example, you're talking about the opportunity for the rich to forego the inconvenience of having a baby. You talk about the rich being able to choose the gender, even physical looks of the baby. And you really are moving into a situation where a child is something to be purchased rather than to be accepted as a natural gift of God. And I'll go back to the embryos. You know, if an embryo is able to be discarded, then what other human life can be discarded? And the other human life that can be discarded moves from the poor to the disabled, to migrants, to people fleeing war, fleeing all sorts of injustices. That's the straight line that I see drawn in this document and really in all of, certainly Francis's speaking, but in all of Catholic teaching.
Now, the Pope may be 87 years old, but he's pretty active on Twitter. I think he's got nearly 20 million followers, and he's aware of the evil that lurks online. This is actually a huge debate in Australia right at the moment. What is the digital violence that the Pope speaks about?
Well, it's very interesting. The first digital violence he speaks about is self-inflicted. He said, stay off your phones, talk to people, you know, get close to a person, hug somebody. But the other kinds of digital violence that he mentions or is mentioned in this particular document are all the kinds of abuses that we find that have now been electronified, you know, pornography, certainly, gambling, prostitution. There are all sorts of problems that can arise through social media, which can really denigrate the human being and hurt the human spirit. He is advising people to be careful. And I have predicted, and I really think it's true, that there will be a document coming out soon about artificial intelligence, which is in some respects really fabulous in terms of scientific advance. And in another aspect is really scary with some of the stuff that can happen.
Former advisor to Pope Francis, Dr. Phyllis Zagano, and you're with me, Andrew West.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.